I'm Jaco Voigt, the CEO of Catalytic, and this is Unbundled. In this series, I help to demystify technology in the world of business. Join me as we explore how technology can make your business better. In this episode, we're chatting about IT infrastructure optimization. We're chatting about business priorities, how to deal with financial and equipment constraints, and what is often overlooked when embarking on a cloud journey. By the end of this episode, you'll have a clearer idea of how to prioritize maintenance for your existing IT investments. I'm joined by Jacques Depree, CEO of Backcare. Jacques, welcome.
Morning, Jaco, and listeners, and thank you for the opportunity to join you on Unbundled.
So we always start the show by just telling us a little bit about yourself.
Jaco, thank you. So I started my career with Light Current Electronics. So I've always had a passion for IT and the IT industry. I've worked in a number of different roles in distribution for IT, worked in systems integration. I've had a previous business called NetSight that was acquired by NASPAS, and we were put into the MWeb business fold. So I've played a role in the internet service provider space as well. So I got to understand a little bit more about that landscape, and then subsequently decided to start another business, and that's what's brought us to this point where we're effectively a service provider providing break fix maintenance services to corporate customers.
Yeah, so you guys are almost positioned in between the. Let's call it the traditional mainstream vendors, and then the other side of the coin where people have no maintenance support on the infrastructure.
That's correct, Jaco. Yeah, we the guys that provide an alternative. Historically, if you wanted maintenance on IT infrastructure, you would go to what they call the original equipment manufacturers or the OEMs, and they were the guys that would then provide maintenance options to you. That whole landscape has changed. You know, customers now have alternate service providers available that can do things a little bit more cost effectively and giving customers benefit.
And I think that's been part of the historical problem, because when things go well, people might skimp a little bit on the ongoing maintenance, and then it ends up catching you down the line.
That's quite correct. I think what happens is that as customers come under financial pressure, They need to make a decision as to where the spend goes. Often the spend goes to wanting to enhance applications, enhance systems, and very often things like the actual infrastructure itself is then neglected. So that's quite important that one needs to do that to make sure that that you are operational and that you don't have any risk in downtime.
Okay, thank you for that. I think you've teed it up quite nicely for us. So let's get into it. So if you look at the conversations you're having with your customers today, what would you say are the top agenda items for corporates when it comes to the IT infrastructure?
So, I think the majority of the conversations with corporates goes around, operational uptime, productivity, application availability, security, compliance in the infrastructure, and obviously the associated expenses for those components. Please proceed.
Sorry, man. And would you say are they focused on, let's go, new projects, or is there a big focus on in terms of optimizing and maintaining what's currently in place?
So, Jaco, I think we find ourselves in a bit of a difficult space because, even if customers do want to procure new equipment, I think it's no secret that there's a global shortage on components and stuff. So even if the customers do want to go that route, they're under pressure because there's extensive lead times on equipment. And, we've recently seen from OEMs where they come back providing quotations to customers and it's 55 weeks. So customers are almost forced to have a look at and see what alternatives. So as much as they would like to buy fancy new equipment, often practically they have constraints around that. And therefore, you know, the business must go on. They need to carry on looking after the infrastructure that they have. They need to mitigate the risk around it. Often they need to expand on current infrastructure as an alternative, you know, so they need to buy, let's call it new components for older devices. So there's a whole, you know, there's a whole myriad of factors that they need to take into account now.
And can I ask you maybe a little bit, let's call it controversially, if you had to sort of assign a percentage to how, let's call it compliant businesses are in terms of having the existing IT infrastructure inside some form of a maintenance agreement, what would you say that percentage to be? How serious are businesses taking it?
Well, actually, if I had to put my neck out, I would say, you know, it's around a 50% compliance. You know, you find what happens is that often customers will focus on critical infrastructure that sits in a data center at head office, and then components scattered around the country are then neglected. You know, and often it's a case of the customers just don't know what they don't know. You know, a lot of them have acquired so much infrastructure over a number of years, that it's very difficult for them to actually keep track of the inventory and, you know, what the sort of warranty status is of that inventory. So you know, we find that there is a large component of exposure for customers.
So okay, that's very interesting. I actually want to circle back to that. So and I think that's probably one of the most fundamental challenges in corporate IT, what we're talking about now. So that's a beautiful point that you brought up. In the last, let's say, 18, 24 months where these global constraints and those things started happening, how would you say the view has changed in business around maintenance and IT operations, if at all?
Well, I think it's no secret that things like the impact of COVID on business has played a major role. You know, things like the weaker dollar, you know, to import equipment and, you know, the associated shipping costs, petrol prices, and even things around load shedding has really put a lot of strain on businesses, and to a large degree has sort of derailed a lot of the roadmaps that customers had in terms of deployment or refreshes or migration to the cloud. So, you know, there's a number of things that have happened. And so what we've seen is that customers have become a lot more receptive to looking at alternatives for procurement of equipment. So we actually see a number of customers approach us and say, you know, because of the extensive lead times, do we perhaps have the, you know, do we have the options of getting refurbished equipment, you know, sort of pre-owned equipment? And there's been historically, I would say, a bit of a general negative connotation attached to it. But what's transpired is that it's pretty much like having a pre-owned vehicle. You know, if you've have a fleet of vehicles that's been well maintained, then obviously you're in a position to sweat those assets. There's nothing wrong with it. It may not have all the latest bells and whistles, but I think practically we find that we don't often need those bells and whistles. So what we're finding is that customers come back to us and say, is an alternative. You know, we cannot wait this period to procure equipment. You know, it's holding up projects. What can we do? And what we do successfully is we have the ability to source equipment. It may be hypothetically, it may be a Generation 9 component rather than a Generation 10. But generally, yeah, it's very well spec'd and it's very suitable for application to the customers. And the reality is it comes in at, you know, with a vast cost saving in comparison to the new equipment. So it really, really is providing a very good cost-effective alternative to customers. You know, so we're seeing a great uptake of requests around, you know, previously loved IT equipment.
And would you say that people are sweating their assets longer?
Absolutely, Yaku. You know, I think whether they like it or not, They're almost compelled to have to sweat their assets. You know, sometimes it's because they need to extend the return on investment of that infrastructure. Because obviously everybody's trying to look for mechanisms to reduce their operational expenses. And in other cases, again, it's because customers are just not in a position to be able to acquire equipment now. And, so on that point, what's historically happened is that your OEM would say to you, we can extend the lifespan of the equipment, but we can only do it on an annual basis. So you've got to take it on a 12-month, 24-month, 36 or 60-month contract. They don't give customers the flexibility to do things on short-term contracts, which we are able to do. So we're now providing alternatives, even in terms of the timeframes to the customers, which they are quite delighted about.
Okay, excellent. Doc, and then my next question is, and I talk about this a lot, where specifically in the space where we play, where we try and assist small to medium enterprises that maybe doesn't have dedicated IT departments, often the customer takes the lead from what I refer to as the IT guy, and we know that there's certain things that the traditional IT guy is really good at, and then there's other things that strategic perspective where they lack a bit. What area of IT infrastructure would you say is most often neglected or overlooked that should actually get priority in a business?
So, interesting enough, my background, I had actually played a role as what they would call a systems integrator, which is, let's call it a traditional IT company. And and I know historically, the focus was on the day-to-day operations of the customer's infrastructure. So they would have some niggles or pains that they would experience on a daily basis, and they could experience some outages. And that's obviously where the priorities and the focus is for a, let's call it a traditional IT company. So they would focus
I always refer to that as the firefighting component, where there's something is down, or somebody deleted something, and you're fixing a problem. It's an emergency.
That's quite correct. And as we know, as soon as there's some user interaction, there's generally a lot of it because users don't always understand the underpinning technologies and stuff like that. And so often it's either self-induced or there's just simple equipment failure that could cause us issues. But be as it may, those are the sort of day-to-day things that need to be taken care of. So what happens is that the service companies don't have the opportunity to look at this and say, look, we've deployed equipment historically. We've got to make sure that not just are things like backups performed, because typically a backup only looks after the data components. It doesn't look after the hardware. But when you have a hardware failure, it's great to have the data, but what do you do when the actual infrastructure is down? So what we do is we work quite closely, interesting enough, with a lot of systems integrations companies to help them extend this value proposition into their customers. So it actually then provides peace of mind that in the event that there are outages of equipment failures, that at least the break fix maintenance component is then taken care of.
Okay. And now we spoke about it earlier. So there is this worldwide manufacturing shortage. And I think the reality, contrary to popular belief, is it's not going away anytime soon. I think for the next 2 to 5 years, we're going to sit with these global constraints. How would you advise business to navigate around that?
So, Yaku, again, sort of making reference to the comment I made earlier. Customers need options. So if we look at that scenario that I used where they would love to purchase a new vehicle, but there's no stock available. They would then alternatively look at either a demo, or they would look at a sort of a well-maintained pre-owned vehicle. And that's the sort of offering that is provided, through a third-party maintenance company. In the world of IT, there's similar options. We have a number of customers that are looking for these cost-effective options on pre-owned equipment, which is more than adequate for their application. And there's actually a worldwide demand for refurbished equipment, which is actually readily available. And this model that we're talking about, this business model of third-party maintenance is very mature internationally. So, you know, North America and Europe, it's very well adopted. There's major entities.
So what does that third-party maintenance, what does that mean practically? So I always use the example, I've got an accounting firm in Centurion with a small branch in Cape Town and Durban. What does that third-party maintenance mean for me?
So effectively, what it means, Yaku, is that you don't have to go to the original equipment manufacturer to ask them for a maintenance contract on equipment. A third-party maintenance company, what they would do is they would actually look at the inventory that a customer has in terms of their IT infrastructure across server, storage, and networking devices, and they would then stock up on components and spares that is required to maintain that infrastructure. And it's normally those components are kept locally. You know, traditionally we've seen with OEMs, they will provide maintenance contracts to customers. And when something happens and they have a critical failure, the guys then need to source the new components or the replacement components, and it's typically sitting in a stocking location in Europe somewhere. So it then has to be dispatched. So you've got all the logistics to get that equipment into South Africa, which induces delays, whereas typically a third-party maintenance company like Backair actually keeps all the spares locally stocked right around the country
in case of a server failure, I phone you guys and you come and do whatever you need to do to fix it.
That's exactly what it is, Yaku. We typically engage customers. We provide a service level agreement to them to fit their need. So we would have a fundamental understanding in terms of, you know, what is the expected turnaround time to resolve an issue. So it could be at 24/7 with a 4-hour response, or it could simply be a company that operates business hours during a business week, and they require a next business day response on that. We would sort of tailor make a service level agreement to respond to that. But we dispatch technicians with the components under their arms to the customer site, and provided that we've been given the authorization by the customer, we would then go and swap out those components and mitigate any further risk.
And Jock, and for me, that point that you made up there now, and I mean, I think it's a common thread in all of the episodes that we do. It's a fundamental requirement that the business takes the time to understand what the impact is when an outage occurs. And you and I had a scenario this past weekend where on a Friday evening late, quite an important component in a customer's network went down without any plan or any support or anything like that. And then they realized this is actually a major crisis. So, and I think for me, when any of us engage with a customer, It's very, very important and critical that the customer communicates with us what the impact is when that component in the network is not functioning.
Absolutely, Yaku. You know, it equips us so that we can respond better and make sure that we get a quicker turnaround on the resolution for that issue. And as you said, you know, although we typically engage customers with a service level agreement, I mean, we do have the ad hoc responses. And that really gives us a fantastic opportunity to demonstrate to the customer, you know, the quick response and the quick turnaround time that we can have on providing a resolution to issues that they are experiencing. And as you said, I mean, our guys worked till the early hours of the morning because obviously it was an ad hoc response. We didn't have a lot of background to it, but the level of commitment from our team specifically to assist the customers is unrivaled. And you know, I would like to just give a shout out to my team.
Okay, cool. So I think then for me, what I see is when customers are faced with these let's call it traditional IT let's call it challenges. There's a trend in the market where we then try and find a silver bullet, And how do I make all of my infrastructure problems go away? I just go to the cloud. So what do you practically see happening at customers today in terms of this old world versus the new world? Where are they at?
So again, Yaku, that we're talking around sort of cloud migration. I think there's we're seeing a lot of customers that are opting to look at service providers that would host their either their infrastructure or just their applications to mitigate risk around downtime because of things like load shedding. We've seen abroad major network operators having outages. It is a reality. You know, things can things happen. It's you know, there's the real world. But what's quite interesting is that even with this adoption of customers moving into the cloud, there's still a major role that we play because typically these migrations are not done overnight. So there's a time frame that needs to be taken into account, and we provide a stopgap to those customers in terms of saying, look, we'll underwrite your maintenance very cost effectively until you're ready to have the your applications migrated into the cloud. And even when that's done, often all that you're doing is you're just then shifting the problem around your server and storage requirements. There's still networking components that that is required because your staff sits on premise, and although it's the applications are hosted in the cloud, you still need to maintain your network because you still physically need to connect to the internet in order to access your applications. And often you need redundant paths to be able to access these applications. So we still work hand in hand with our customers to provide ongoing maintenance on specifically the networking and security components. Again, to make sure that the applications are accessible and online.
And I think for me, what's come out of this is customers have to be very, very clear that there's no silver bullet that just makes all of your problems go away overnight. You have to do things for the right reasons and have a clear strategy around how you're gonna go on this journey of changing the way that you've traditionally worked.
Absolutely, Yaku. And often what we find is we find a hybrid these type of solutions. So customers will then provision their applications in the cloud, and then what they'll do is they'll look for a cost-effective data center solution that is typically hosted by a service provider. I know that's something that you guys typically have in your offering, but what customers would do is they would take equipment, they would then move it into that infrastructure, and that would then become a what they would call a disaster recovery or backup solution for them. And again, you can't have a backup solution or disaster recovery solution without having some sort of maintenance on there, and that's where we provide cost-effective maintenance on that equipment. You know, you're trying to keep this infrastructure running, and you want to do it without inducing additional expenses into the equation.
And I think that's where we try and spend a lot of our time is to provide the customer with not too much of a shift into we try and provide him with a path that's a gradual journey. And like you say, to me specifically, where South Africa is at in terms of the challenges, the supply chain, the power availability. Without making too much of a major shift and maybe getting yourself into something that you didn't understand, there's a gradual shift where you can say, take my existing infrastructure, move it into a data center, and let's rather have maintenance and support around it than just going and saying, okay, right, we forklifting everything and sending it into some sort of hyperscaler cloud.
Absolutely, Yaku. And I think practically, we've even had conversations with customers where they haven't fully understood that, and what's happened is that their costs have actually escalated by moving everything into the cloud because things are done on a consumption model, and it's previously it was easy for them to contain because they would have bought and provisioned that infrastructure, but as you were saying, as it scales, typically there's a bill associated to that. The other concern that some of the customers have raised is, you've got to be careful that you're not completely beholden to a service provider. You know, it's a case of putting all your eggs in one basket. So you know, you need to keep that in mind when mapping out your infrastructure requirements.
Okay, cool. So I always end the show by making it practical, and I think you earlier in the discussion you very rightly pointed out to the lack of understanding of what might be part of your your asset register or your infrastructure. So where would a business start if they decide to get their maintenance and operations in order? Where do they start today?
So the first thing is that critical infrastructure needs to be identified, which typically includes your server storage and networking equipment. Once you've identified what your critical infrastructure is, you then need to raise questions around what is the age of the equipment. Often new equipment carries manufacturer's warranties, which is initially cost effective, but generally becomes more expensive through the manufacturers as it gets older. So you then need to look for alternatives for that. Once you've identified that equipment, you can typically look at things like your asset registers and determine whether or not there's upcoming renewals or whether maintenance has actually lapsed on it, and then contact a third-party maintenance company who will typically provide a obligation-free assessment and quotation for it. So I think that's what's probably the most critical starting point, Jaco.
Understanding what's the impact if it breaks, and then how do you mitigate that risk?
So, Jaco, my apologies. Would you mind repeating that question?
So I was saying, understanding what you have, understanding what the impact is if those things break, and then how do you mitigate that risk with some form of maintenance or spares availability?
That's correct. Yeah. Obviously, you want to make sure that that the business is not at risk. This is also assists with looking at compliance. So you make sure that that the infrastructure is compliant in terms of not having any sort of immediate exposure for outages, that type of thing. And obviously, the most important thing is one wants to do it as cost effectively as possible. And typically, third-party maintenance companies offer a cost saving in comparison to the manufacturers of around 30 to 60%, which is quite significant.
Wow, that's amazing. So to me, I think the fundamental thing that came out of today is, just because your infrastructure is maybe on the older side, it doesn't mean that it shouldn't be in support and maintenance. There are alternatives for that. And I think for me, the appeal that I have to every small business owner or GM, make sure, understand what you have in your infrastructure and make sure that you have a plan for it.
That's correct, Jaco. I agree with that 100%.
Jock, thank you very much. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Likewise, thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to Unbundled, brought to you by Catalytic, a series that aims to demystify technology so that you can make smarter decisions for your business. Remember that you can listen to all of the podcasts on the Cliff Central app or website. And for added convenience, you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever you listen. And if you're looking for help with communications tools for your business, please make sure to visit catalytic.co.za. Cliffcentral.com.